Tonight I want to just look at one verse that we read a moment ago, verse 18, where Jesus said, and he was talking to Peter, and a lot of people think that, you know, he's making Peter something that he really wasn't in this verse. He wasn't talking about Peter, but he was talking about Peter's faith, the faith that recognized Christ as the Son of God. And he said, upon that rock, upon that faith, that kind of faith, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That paints a picture of hell being on the defensive against the Church of Christ. It paints a picture of Christians storming the gates of hell. And let me just remind you tonight, that's what we have been charged with. That's what we have been left here by our Savior to do. I think it's wonderful to enjoy the blessings of God that he gives us while we're here, but let's never forget why we're here. Let's never forget what we should be about. What we should be about is introducing men and women and boys and girls to Jesus Christ and keeping them out of hell. And the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against us. They will not be able to stop us. Now, Satan, on the other hand, goes on the offensive too. And Satan does not like the church of Jesus Christ. And by the way, I'm not talking about the universal church. I'm not talking about the church that some people think won't be formed until all the Christians get to heaven. I'm talking about the kind of churches that Jesus was talking about, the local assemblies of called out believers. That we are a church. This building is not the church. I praise God for the building that he has given us, and I praise God for all the nice things that we have. But we would be just as much a church if we were still meeting in the VFW hall and had to set up chairs every service and take them down and move them after every service. And again, I thank God for this building, but this building is just a tool that God has given us to reach people for Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to be about. Satan doesn't like that. And I'll tell you for sure, Satan doesn't like what's been happening around here the last few weeks. And he, as he has done down through the ages, will attack and try to get us off course, to try to take our eyes off Jesus Christ, to try to get us off our focus of telling people about him. And showing them how to get to heaven. I mean, he's done it down through history. The very words that Jesus spoke were barely out of his mouth when the attack started from Satan. I mean, he used Pilate, the Roman governor at the time. He took Jesus captive. Up to that time, remember the Bible says that no one was able to lay their hands on him. I mean, he would be in crowds and they would try to take him and they would try to arrest him. And the Bible says that he just walked through the crowd. I mean, he just escaped from what they wanted to do to him and just walked through because it wasn't his time yet. But when the time came, the Bible says that he submitted himself to those that arrested him. He was tried and he was crucified, nailed to a cross, laid in a tomb. And we celebrated the resurrection last week and we talked a little bit about it last Sunday night. But I can just see the glee in Satan's face when they laid him in the tomb and his disciples and those that loved him stood around mourning and Satan was just rubbing his hands together. And said, hey, we've got him. We have killed the church. The church cannot survive without their leader, Jesus Christ. He's dead. He's in the tomb. He's in the grave. And he'll stay there forever. And the church will be dead. And we talked again. We talked about it last Sunday night. Three nights and 3 days later, Jesus got up, folded the cloth that came out of his burial cloth. Just came out of it and took the napkin that was over his face and folded it and left the grave. Then the earth shook and the stone was rolled away so that we could see that he was no longer there. And Satan realized as he saw what happened that first Easter morning that the church was not dead, that the founder and the builder of the church was alive. He had defeated death and the church marched on. Amen. Nero was the next Roman leader. He said, I can kill the church. I'll kill all the disciples. I'll just kill every single one of them, and I'll stamp out Christianity before it even gets started. I'll stamp out the church. And so he went after the disciples. They tied Mark, and again, these are more than disciples, but early Christians. He tied Mark to wild horses, and they dragged him through the streets till he was dead. That's what they did to the one who wrote the book of Mark. Matthias, you remember the disciple, the disciples picked to replace Judas, Matthias? They took a sword and chopped him to pieces. Peter, they crucified Peter, but Peter said, I can't be crucified like my Savior, turn me upside down. And they hung Peter to a cross upside down and crucified him. James, they threw from the top of the temple and beat with clubs, a brother of Christ, James, one of the leaders of the early church. Bartholomew, they basically skinned him alive and killed him. Barnabas, they stoned. Thomas, they ran through with a spear. Jude, they shot with an arrow. John, they tied a rope around his waist and said, if you don't deny Christ, we're going to lower you into this vat of boiling oil. He said, I'll never deny my Savior. And they lowered him into that boiling pot of oil, boiled the skin from his body, and then sent him to exile on the Isle of Patmos. And Nero said, Satan said, if I can kill the disciples, if I can wipe them out, the church will die. And they killed most of them. And the church marched on. I want to remind you tonight that this is Christ's church. And this church is built on Him. This is His church. And this church is not dependent on human instruments. I want everybody to leave tonight knowing that this church belongs to Jesus Christ and that He has a plan for this church, and He will work that plan as long as we stay faithful and keep our eye on Him and stay about the purpose that He's given us to go after men and women and boys and girls and tell them about Jesus Christ. And so this is His church. Many of you have sent me notes this week, and you've left me messages, and you've talked to me in various ways, and I appreciate all the love and concern that you have for your pastor, and I appreciate all the prayers that I know is going up to heaven on my behalf. But I want you to walk away from this service tonight knowing that this church will, and I told the deacons last night, hey, I could die tomorrow. This church will march on. Now listen, when you walk out the door, I want you to know that. This church is not dependent on me. I hope God keeps me. I hope God works and I can stay for a long time. But if I die tomorrow, that wouldn't be bad to go up and see Brother Dwayne in heaven. I'll just tell you that. I remember, I told you the story before, R.G. Lee got an old Baptist preacher, Memphis, Tennessee. Helen went to his church. And he was preaching, he got on an elevator in a hotel. A bunch of young thugs got on the elevator with him and said, hey, give us your money, we're going to kill you. And he said, you can't scare me with heaven. He said, if you kill me, I'm just going to heaven. It wouldn't be bad to go to heaven. But listen, I'm getting off track. I want you to know, I want you to walk away tonight with full assurance that this church belongs to Jesus Christ. He has a plan for it. I don't know what it is. You don't know what it is. But as long as we stay faithful to Him and keep our eyes on Him and be busy about the things that He left us to be busy about, this church will go on and be what it should be for Jesus Christ. It is not dependent on your pastor. It is not dependent on your associate pastor. It is not dependent on our Sunday school teachers. I praise God for our associate pastor, and I praise God for our Sunday school teachers and the deacons and the trustees and everybody that has and plays a part in this church. So many to mention. I'll forget somebody if I get started. So let me just take a wide swath tonight and say I appreciate everybody that does anything in this church. I mean, I looked at the sign-up sheet for the funeral tomorrow, and every space was already filled up. And I'm glad that God's given us a church full of people that love and want to serve. But you listen to me. This church does not depend on any one person. This church is being built by Jesus Christ. He has a plan, and it will carry on as long as we stay faithful to Him. Faithful to Him. In the second century, there was a man called Lucian and a man called Celsus that tried to destroy the church. And I don't have time to tell you all these stories, so let me just say for these two guys, they're in hell tonight, and the church of Jesus Christ is still alive and strong and marching forward. In the third century, there was a man named Malleus who said, if I can burn all the Bibles and burn all the churches, I can destroy the church. And he took Christians back in his day and dipped them in wax and used them as streetlights, lit them up as human candles. I want to tell you that Malleus is in hell tonight, and the church of Jesus Christ is still alive and well. In the fourth century, there was a man named Julian. He started teaching that there was more than one God. He said, if I can teach people that there are many, many gods, I can destroy the church. And then he put the military on top of it. And he used all the might and all the power and all the strength of an army to overcome God's purpose and to destroy God's church. He was the one that set up the Colosseum and pitted and brought groups of Christians in and then let the lions loose. And the lions would tear apart the Christians as crowds would gather and like a sports event today and cheer on the lions. That man is in hell tonight, and the church of Jesus Christ goes on. It's alive and well. The Persians came. They persecuted Christians. They marched them through to their death. And they said, if we can kill enough Christians, we can destroy the church of Jesus Christ. And you listen to me, kings can kill Christians, and they can destroy church buildings, and they can try to burn Bibles. But every time they try, they fail. Jesus proves over and over and over again that this is His church, and Satan does not have power over it. He cannot prevail against it. And as long as a church keeps their eye on Jesus Christ and keeps their focus on doing what He called them to do, the church will be alive and well. Now, I'm not saying that He offers to every local assembly a perpetual life. I mean, even the letters that He wrote in the book of Revelation. Remember, He wrote to the church at Ephesus. He said, hey, you've left your first love. You need to turn back, or I'm going to take the candlestick away. I'm going to close it up. And God will close local assemblies that take their eye off Him and get focused on something else and are not about doing what He's left us to do. But a church that keeps her eye on Jesus Christ and keeps going after lost people, keeps storming the gates of hell to try to keep them out of hell, has a promise from God that Satan won't be able to touch them. He will not be able to touch them. They burned John Huss at the stake. He said as they were lighting the fire, he wore a crown of thorns for me. I'll wear this crown for him. There was a man named Ridley and Latimer that were burned at the stake, and as they were set on fire, they said, today you people light a fire that will be seen around the world. John Wesley, the great Methodist preacher, if you read his diary, he said, preached at St. Anne's, they kicked me out. Preached at St. George's, they kicked me out. Preached at St. Jude's, they kicked me out. Preached at St. Vincent's, they kicked me out. And they said, don't ever come back. And he went out to the cemetery and he stood on his father's grave, and 20,000 people gathered around him, and that old Methodist preacher, without a microphone, with just a good set of lungs given to him by God, preached the gospel. And there were over 3,000 people saved. on his father's grave. They put John Bunyan in Bedford jail for 12 years because he refused to take a license from the state to preach. And on the top of milk jugs, he wrote that classic that so many of us enjoy, Pilgrim's Progress, that talked about how to get to heaven. The atheist came, said, "There is no God. God is dead." Thomas Paine was an American atheist. I read a story one time, he was in an auditorium, 5,000 people. Thought about it tonight when Adam sang that song, stand up for Jesus. He was presenting his argument. 5,000 people, men, women, boys, and girls. And he was just going on and on about how God was dead and God was nothing to be concerned about. And he got to the end of his speech and he said, "If anybody can stand up and prove that there's a God, let him do it now." And there was just a hush over the audience. And up on the balcony, there was a 13-year-old girl, 13 years old, stood up and started singing, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it shall not suffer loss. And the story goes that just about everybody in that auditorium stood up, joined in singing the song, stand up for Jesus. And the story goes that Payne sneaked out the side door. He sneaked out the side door. Because of people that have their eyes on Jesus Christ and are focused on what he's called us to do, Satan will have no power over. No power. Payne was a guy that said, "Before I die, I will destroy every Bible in the United States of America." And when he died, they bought his house and printing press to print Bibles. Don't tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. I think that he opens up hell and he let Payne see what happened to his house and his printing press. He had said, "I'll destroy every Bible." And the very tools that he had to destroy the Bible were used to preserve the Bible and to print it. And then we come to today. I think the most furious attack on the church is the attack that's happening today. And it's not coming from the outside. It's coming from the inside. And it is the lack of concern and the take-it-or-leave-it attitude that many, many Christians have toward the church. Toward the church. There'll be churches in just a few weeks that will call off their Sunday night services and their Wednesday night services. And they'll say, "Well, it's summertime. We'll just have church on Sunday morning. That'll be enough." And those that are part of their congregations will be glad because they won't have to feel bad about not going. God's been good to us. Been good to us. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll take the goodness of God for granted. That's why I like to preach messages like I preached this morning. I don't want you to ever forget what a sinner you were. And I don't want to ever forget what a sinner I was when Jesus saved me. I don't want to forget that. I was just like John Newton. I was a wretch. There was nothing about me that deserved the love of God. But he loved me enough to send his only son to die in my place. I don't want to ever get over that. I don't want you to ever get over it. I just want you to get, I don't want you to ever get over it. I don't want you to ever forget. What a great thing. Brother John, I know you gave your testimony this morning. It was kind of funny
Brian and I were on the way home last night from deacon's meeting. I said, have you ever heard Brother John's testimony? And he said, no, I never have. And I didn't know we were going to give it today. I remember the first time, and the second time, the third time, fourth time, fifth time. Every time John gives his testimony, again, I didn't hear him this morning, so I don't know if you did the same thing this morning. But every time that guy gave his testimony, he would always say, I just can't believe what God did for me. He talked about his past and what he came out of, and he said, I just can't believe that God did what he did for me. And I was telling Brian last night, when he got ready to be saved, he went to his brother. If I remember the story right, and I don't know about the conversation, but it probably went something like this. Leonard, I need to know how to ask Jesus to be my Savior. And his brother told him how to ask Christ into his heart. Faithful servant ever since. I don't know a more faithful man than that man right there. He'll never forget. And I don't want to forget what Jesus did for me. And I don't want you to forget. And I don't want you to forget why we're here. We're here to go out into that world and tell men and women and boys and girls that there's somebody that loves them. There's somebody that doesn't want them to go to hell. And that somebody went to a cross and died in their place. And if they'll ask him, he'll save them. And if you're here tonight and you've never done that, he'll save you tonight. Doesn't matter what kind of sinner you are. Doesn't matter what kind of background you have. If he can save somebody like Brother John, and if he can save somebody like this preacher, he can save you. He can save you. And you listen to me. This body of believers has been built by the Lord Jesus Christ. This is his church. And regardless of what happens tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day, it is his. It's his. Let's just keep our eye on him. Let's keep doing what he's called us to do. I look back at Lois, and I can just see her in Myers and Walmart taking our tracks, putting them in beer cartons and pop cartons. I can just see those people when they get that beer home. What's this? That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. Let's never forget it. Never, ever, never, never. What a wonderful privilege we have to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement that it gives us. Thank you for the promises that it's full of. And I pray tonight, if there's just one person here that doesn't know Jesus Christ, I pray tonight that they would see their sin, they would see the price of that sin, and Father, they would come and ask Jesus to be their Savior. Speak to our hearts as Christians. Help us to stay on track. Help us to stay focused on what you've left us here to do. And I pray, Father, that this week, somebody sitting here tonight, or more than somebody, many of us this week, would have an opportunity to tell somebody about Christ and see him pray and ask Jesus to be their Savior. Bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be obedient as the Holy Spirit speaks. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.